Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Show tapes live some Thursdays on YouTube, channels ANN Zach. Check my Twitter feed, ActionZaku, for more. I hope you enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to ANCAST. I'm Zach Birchie. Jacob is not here. He is sick and has been for like 10 days. and it's in the middle of preview guy time. Boy, it has been busy. Extremely busy and really kind of odd. Jacob's doing okay. We actually we went to the doctor yesterday, and he's getting like labs and stuff done. It's like kind of a long-term allergy thing that we're trying that like turns into strep throat over and over again. We're trying to get it puzzled out. But we're finally getting it taken care of, and so that's good. But I still wanted to have a podcast this week, even though like that turned into a whole nightmare where, you know, I had to handle all the preview guide stuff and all that stuff for like a week. But I still wanted to have a show, and I still wanted to be able to like catch up on anime. And so here to help me do that is the interest feed editor at Anime News Network, friend of the show, and my friend Lindsay Leverage. Lindsay, how you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for pinch hitting.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I really still want to have a show this week. I wonder if Lindsay's been watching stuff. And thankfully you were.
Yeah.
I caught up on a bunch of stuff just over the last couple of days. But I watched some stuff last week, too. And I thought we would just kind of have this is going to be a short show. We're just going to kind of have a lightning round where we just run through the spring stuff we've watched. And then Jacob will be back next week and we'll get a little bit more in depth on all of this, I think. But for now, I thought just impressions might be fun. You know, just run down. Like, it is a huge season. Like, it's massive.
So how many shows are there?
I've
heard counts somewhere between 50 and 60.
I mean, so the counts, now the counts that you see are all like, well, this includes literally everything on the air. This count includes, like, you expect it to include shorts, but then they'll also include, like, One Piece and Boruto and, like, things that just run forever. And be like, mm-hmm. Oh, but also the new season of One Piece. And you're like, all right. Like, you raise a hand and you're like, hang on just a second. It is a tremendous amount of shit. I think it's more than, I know it's more than 35 in the preview guide. I think it might be past 40 at this point.
Yeah.
I haven't done the actual count in a little while, but it is a lot of stuff. And I watched, like I said, I probably watched 15 things. I still have, like, way more to catch up on. Like, I watched the stuff that I was the most interested in.
And yeah, I started that way too. I've watched probably most of what's on preview guide, but kind of slowly going at it. I was actually surprised that despite how much there is, there was only a small handful that I was really like, oh, I've got to check this out as soon as it's out.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a big kind of diverse season. Like, I think there's like a wide array of tastes being kind of catered to. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems a little bit more stratified than usual. And I think that kind of owes, because I also like a lot of the really big hyped up shows were snapped up by Netflix and will be coming out, you know, slowly over the course of the next couple of months, whatever.
Yeah.
And so those shows have all been kind of spirited away from the usual hype cycle. And not all the big shows, but like plenty of the ones that were sort of anticipated. But we still had plenty of huge
show got.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's going that way.
Yeah, yeah, that way, and then the Kawamori show is also going on Netflix, you know, and so like those are things we would normally be discussing in this space. That's not to suggest at all that there's a lack of huge shit in the preview guide, because there is huge shit in the preview guide.
Oh yeah,
plenty of big stuff. We will get to it. Huge season. I'm still trying to get my head around it. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to throw out the shows that I watched. We'll go through them. You tell me what you thought.
Okay.
And if there's stuff that I didn't get to that you did that you want to run through, we will definitely do that before we wrap. So first, I'm just going to start at the beginning here. This is not in any particular order. I'm just going to throw them out. Lindsay, what did you think of Butler's cross butt? Badler's? But it's two butts?
All right. So Butler's Ex-Battlers is one of maybe five shows that I did not watch yet.
Oh, of course. Is the X silent? So the X in Hunter x Hunter is silent.
Right.
Is it Butler's Battlers? Or are you supposed to say Butler Ex-Battlers?
Or Butler's Bi-Battlers.
Well, it's fine. I didn't... So, okay. I the only thing I wrote down on this was nice production, but shrug. And that's true. Like, so anytime there's like a tremendous number of Bishonen in something, like black Butler looking ass Bishonens,
yeah.
I am used to the animation looking a little bit more like Golden Kamuy, you know, like
yeah.
The characters are just kind of badly drawn. Like that's yeah. It's such a crude way to criticize the way a show looks. But that for something like Golden Kamuy, that's like the first thing that comes to mind. It's badly drawn, badly drawn.
Yeah.
And this one, Butler's Battlers, looked good. Like, it had this really nice kind of pastel color palette. Not really pastel. It's like pastel gothic sort of a thing. I don't know. It's kind of hard to describe. But it looked fine. The characters, like, you know, consistent in their face and everything. And it looked okay. I didn't care at all about the story, which was like...
So they're time travelers, right?
I guess. Mysterious handsome man shows up at a school full of handsome men and immediately takes over the clandestine school council. And it's like, let's open up this 100-year-old mansion that's been on school grounds that no one's been inside. And we're going to make this our new school clubhouse. And uh-oh, mysteries within. And it feels like mystery box full of supernatural secrets that I am definitely not going to watch another episode of.
Yeah, okay. The production value is fine. That's not what I expected either, because... It's based on nothing, right?
It's just an original thing, but it's
conjured up for whatever reason, and it seemed like an odd way to go for an original premise. Let's have some time traveling butlers. I didn't expect there to be the school council angle.
Well, honestly, it's a lot of it's a kitchen sink kind of approach to this, but it is very clearly attempting to do a Black Butler-y type of thing. So, like that is if you liked Black Butler. Then maybe this is for you. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Maybe you're like, just because I like Black Butler doesn't mean I'm going to fall for any old shit. Don't patronize me. Maybe that's your reaction. I don't know.
I don't know. Sebastian's kind of hard to beat in the Butler arena, but...
I have only seen like maybe three episodes of the original Black
I've
Butler.
Only seen the first season, I think.
I don't really like... I like a vampire man. I do. Yeah. But like a sexy vampire man to me is like Alucard. It's not like Sebastian.
Really? Alucard, though?
Well, I want like long hair and cravats.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe more like the Count from the Vampire Hunter D movie.
I think Dracula, like Castlevania Dracula, is hot.
Okay, yeah.
And his son. And his son is extremely hot. These guys are just too plain. It's just like a boy band member in a fancy suit.
Wait, are these butlers also vampires?
No, I don't know. No, they're magic in some way. Look, I watched it and I was also cleaning my desk.
All right. That's fair.
The next thing I watched was Caligula. Did you watch this?
No.
Dang. Did we only watch that?
I've got 20 shows like on this piece of paper.
I'm gonna keep limiting. Yeah, I'm gonna keep naming stuff you didn't touch.
Yeah. That one's based on a video game, and I've heard some impressions of it, but I have not watched it myself.
I was okay with it. It's super goofy. The premise is in the future, everyone is addicted to this idol software. That's actually tricked everyone into a Matrix type situation. And the whole first episode, literally the whole first episode is insufferably smug high school kid who's like, you think that's air you're breathing? Like the entire time. And I think he's supposed to come off as like, look at this really smart kid. He's you and you figured it out, you know, that kind of thing. But he just comes across as like, this guy spends a lot of...
What I heard is that the protagonist is pretty insufferable, and that sort of kept me...
Dude reads the internet a lot and is here to tell you about it. Like, that's kind of, he got his opinions from the internet. But it, like, the thing is that no one really, like, the whole, like, let's rip off the Matrix directly hasn't been done in a little while. So, I'm kind of here for it, you know? Yeah. Like, all right, sure.
We can revisit that now.
Who does know what Tasty Wheat tastes like? I don't. I know what the Matrix tells my brain. tells me that Tasty Wheat tastes like, but I don't know what it really tastes like. So, yeah, that's Caligula, based on the hit film starring Malcolm McDowell. Cutie Honey.
I did watch Cutie Honey, I have thoughts about Cutie Honey.
Were you disappointed by Cutie Honey?
I have, so I'm conflicted about Cutie Honey.
Yeah.
All right, so this iteration of Cutie Honey is mostly my first experience with it, other than just getting the theme song stuck in my head from the original. But otherwise, I've never read Gonagai's original manga or seen any of the other anime adaptations or the live-action adaptation. But, so it reminded me of 70s lesbian pulp. Does that feel accurate?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that was, while watching it, I was like, this is very, like, pulpy. It's got all the Gonagai bookmarks for sexual violence and debauchery and over the top. And the pacing was kind of weird. There were a couple points where I was like, should I start from the beginning? Okay. So when they're going after Panther Claw, right? And they go into the building, and the leader of Panther Claw is also a detective. So she's like a double agent or something. She's like in the building and then disappears out of the building at one point. And I thought she was still supposed to be in the building, and everything's really, the production's really kind of wonky. There's some points where it really looked like, oh, this is definitely a Gonagai anime. These character designs, you know, everything. I can see some of the similarities between like the aesthetic of Devilman Crybaby, at least surface wise. But, other times it's kind of ugly.
Mm.
And, I guess I'm not really into I would call it the color design of it very much. It's kind of garish. I don't know if I like or dislike the gayness in it. That's the conflicted part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt the same on a lot of that. The tone was just like, nope. What are you doing? This isn't, it's not fun. It's not serious, but it's not serious. I don't know what they're going for with the tone. I know it's hard to get the tone right on Gonagai adaptations. People have struggled with it. Like, I'm not a huge fan of Cutie Honey. Like, I kind of like the idea of, I like the imagery of Cutie Honey more than I actually like the story of Cutie Honey. And I will fully admit that I was kind of hoping for a Devilman Crybaby style reinvention on this one.
Yeah.
But it probably wasn't super realistic to expect that. And that's not condescending to the show. Yeah. I didn't watch any trailers. I was just like, oh, new Cutie Honey universe. Yeah. Hey, like, oh, right. Well, the designs look a little interesting. You know, like, who knows? And ultimately what I got was kind of this tonal mishmash where I thought it looked cool, but it didn't really pull me in. I don't know. I will watch more. I actually am going to keep watching it until it really totally turns me off, just because I do like the images and the basic aesthetic of Cutie Honey. I like it enough and this is a good looking version of it, that I'll watch it for a little bit.
Yeah, like I would watch it mostly for Sister Jill, I guess.
Although, like, the end of that episode, Sister Jill is just like straight walking into Cutie Honey's, or to Honey's, like, what is it? She's in like a seminary school or something. She like walks.
Yeah, some kind of all girls school.
Well, she's just invisible hanging out there. If she just materialized and murdered her, that would be it. That would be it.
It feels like there's got to be like some sort of, I don't know, like conflict or something, like, because she's working with her, but not. Is it just to like build her trust or something?
Well, they're
pull off her henchmen or.
Yeah. Well, so she's in disguise. Like, she's in disguise as like an investigator or something.
Yeah.
And like, that's kind of, you know, Cutie Honey plot. But like, so you hadn't seen any of the other.
No.
Anything? Okay. The only real... I've read some of the manga. I've seen Cutie Honey Flash, like, in the 90s. And I saw the live-action Cutie Honey, which...
Yeah.
Which is not
Anno's live-action.
Total... Yeah, absolutely. Like, that whole movie is just like, here's my girlfriend. Isn't she cute? Yeah, that's pretty much it. Just mugging for the camera the whole time. So, like, to suggest that I have some grand attachment to Cutie Honey and had high expectations and had reasonable expectations or something like this. No, I just was kind of excited to see another Gonagai thing, and this was a little bit of a okay, yeah. I guess it's not as exciting as I thought it would be. Like, that's that was kind of it. I don't really have harsh, I don't have harsh words for Cutie Honey, and I will probably watch at least another couple episodes of it.
Yeah.
All right, Dora Iku. Did you watch it?
Yes. Yep.
The slave. Yeah. The slave. Yeah, it's edgy.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
The slave game. What did you think of this fucking thing?
It's giving me like horrible flashbacks of all the dental work I had as a child.
yeah.
Mind control retainer. That. God, I don't know. It's just it's trash, man. I don't.
It's edgy, man.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm trying to decide whether I'll check it out for another episode or not, because I can be a sucker for like dumb edge trash. Like, I watched all of Future Diary.
Yeah.
You know, I can put it away and just like watch it, but there isn't really a draw to it right now. Like, I couldn't really reconcile that they're trying to frame her and her new boyfriend-esque person as, like, the heroes of the story because they want to challenge themselves. And I'm like, but within the framing, you're challenging yourself by making slaves out of other people. Like,
so this is the same genre as Kakigurui. It's just nowhere near as good or interesting. Like, nowhere near as good or interesting. And also, like... Kakigurui had character dynamics in it that were genuinely interesting and like really kind of fascinating, and you cared about the characters even though they were kind of terrible people. You wanted to find out what happened to them. This is just like mean-spirited could you imagine the ultimate game, like that, like stupid edgelord. I really didn't react. This is the kind of edgy thing where like edgelord stuff that I'm cool with weirdly is like stuff like Rin, Daughters of Mnemosyne, or like, you know, something that at least has the it's weird enough and out there enough to be genuinely transgressive and shocking, but also at least like not the stupidest thing you've ever seen.
Right.
You know? So, I don't know. This one totally didn't grab me. These things walk a fine line, though. It feels like there's a couple of them every year, like super edge shows, like right on the living edge. And
King's Game?
Yeah. And they always, it feels like they're largely just good for a laugh, which I'm not sure is what they're going for when they make them, but maybe it is.
I don't think it is. I don't. And I feel like the show maybe could be more tolerable if they weren't trying to frame the main characters as good in any kind of way.
Well, yeah, you know? It's easier. Also, I think it's generally easier to work from the framing of characters that you are not supposed to like, but they will insert qualities that make you empathize with them. Mm-hmm. That is kind of an easier trick to pull in a show like this than trying to introduce characters who are quote unquote good people that just keep failing, I guess, or like whatever. Like stop framing them as good. Like just dunk your whole world in nihilism and we'll see. You know, like you might,
because I think like the last scene of the first episode, like the male character's like, I don't really care about the slave part that much. I just want to challenge myself.
And yeah.
It's like, you can't.
I'm going to be the best. We're gonna be like, it's gonna have a power friendship message in the end. Like,
it's like Pokemon, really.
I just want to
humans.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, the whole like periodontal slave collar thing is pretty stupid.
Yeah. I don't understand exactly how it stays behind your teeth.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right. Did you watch Grazeni?
No.
The Money Pitch. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing that right. Money Pitch.
No, I did not watch Middle-Aged Baseball Man.
He's 27.
Is he?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
He's not middle-aged.
But is it the framing of it, though?
Absolutely. The framing is that this old man is getting ready to hobble off into the sunset. One foot in the grave for this fucking geezer.
We gotta take him out to pasture. Yeah. And won't be able to bat or hit pitches.
The young guys are showing up to dig his grave. That's pretty much it. But so the idea, the concept is neat. The concept is, I was sort of a third stringer, kind of also ran, basically kind of barely hanging on to the league. Like, fine, you know, workman shortstop, whatever the heck position he's playing. But he realizes he's about to retire. He's about to get out of it, and he's not. He doesn't have like a huge savings, and he didn't make that much money as a baseball player. He doesn't have any other skills, so he's going to retire. And how do I make money? So now he's figuring out ways to make money, and the execution on it is not very good or interesting. It's, you know, Nick Creamer actually summed it up pretty good. He's like, this is designed for, you know, sort of salaryman who used to have dreams of being a baseball player, and now all they think about is, you know, the numbers in their bank account, basically. And so this is kind of an interesting angle on that. But the execution
sounds incredibly sad, though.
It's charming and kind of this sort of low rent. Yo, I got to scrape together some money. Like, I got to scrape it together. Like, it's relatable. It's relatable sort of impacts of capitalism kind of thing. But like the execution is just bad, and it's just not fun. So it's just kind of dull, and the execution's really bleh. Kind of a letdown there. Did you watch Legend of the Galactic Heroes?
I did watch Legend of the Galactic Heroes.
What'd you think?
Well, okay, so this is also one where I had not seen the original, like, at all. I mean, I was familiar with the imagery of it because it would get brought up quite often, actually, in my column. Like, whenever I'd write up seven of this or that, there always seemed to be some way it could have been applicable to Legend of the Galactic Heroes. And, but I hadn't ever included it because I hadn't watched it and it wasn't legally available anyway. So for the remake, the characters are attractive and they talk a lot.
So did you have experience with previous Legend of the Galactic Heroes?
No, I haven't. I had like zero.
Yeah.
Zip.
I've watched plenty, I would say, of the original, like many moons ago, that was quite a long time ago. I think I talked about it on the show, watching a bit of that on the show, and you know, I liked it. I kind of got into it. I always kind of meant to finish it.
Yeah,
but that was years ago, and now I'm picking it back up again.
Yeah,
and it's I will watch this. This is something I will be watching this season, but it is to satiate a curiosity. I am not certain how excited I am about it.
Since you've seen some of the original, maybe you can give me a little bit more foreshadowing on it. I mean, it's supposed to get pretty space political, right?
I'm not comfortable presenting myself as any kind of an expert
right.
in the slightest. I've never read the book. I vaguely watched like maybe 20 episodes of this back in like
there's over 100 7 or 8 years ago. Of the original,
it's a big sprawling, from what I understand, a big sprawling political narrative about war in space between three different factions. Mm-hmm. There's a big empire. There's an alliance of free planets. And then there's a third faction that is apparently maintaining the visage of neutrality, but in fact picks sides.
Switzerland.
Sure, you could argue about Switzerland's quote-unquote neutrality, but we won't. Maybe that's a topic for not at all an anime podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I've got some opinions about that, but... you're sitting there and you're watching these pretty men in their armor command giant fleets of ships to murder each other and thousands of people at once. And like, I'm down for the political stuff. I'm down for it. I'm curious if there are real world analogies that they're drawing from directly, or if this is intended to just be a mishmash. I would be dramatically more interested in this story from the perspective of a member of the exploited class that absolutely exists, that they don't not too interested in showing us.
Yeah, because it's all aristocrats as far as like the major.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different Legend of the Galactic Heroes has a big, big, big cast, and I'm not familiar enough with that big, big, big cast to say like, well, do they ever give you the perspective of like a cynical political reporter? Because that's what I would be very interested in seeing, is a show about someone experiencing Legend of the Galactic Heroes from the perspective of like a sort of rumpled anti-authoritarian political reporter. Like, that would be interesting to me. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. But if it's just these great men commanding their great armies, like, fuck that. Like, fuck that. I'm not interested in that. But if it's political commentary, then yeah, definitely. You know, here's what humans do. Then sure. But I don't really know where it goes. So I'm curious. And here's my chance to watch it as it currently airs as part of my job. So why wouldn't I?
In a more condensed format, too. Although I am kind of curious because it's only supposed to be one core and then movies.
Right.
I don't want to be left hanging.
It's only supposed to be, oh, this one season and then they're just going to do a bunch of movies?
Yeah.
I thought it was this one season, then they're going to release this season as movies, and then they're going to make another season and release that, like...
Oh, I don't know. I thought it was the other one, but
it feels like one of us should know, but we don't, because we're taping this on Friday morning, and yeah, anyway. I don't know. I will look that up, and we will clarify at some point. Did you watch this Yotsuhiro thing? What is the full name of this?
Is that the one with the restaurant?
Yes.
No.
Dang.
Sorry.
Running out. Well, that's fine. It's another.
I was like, Lindsay, make sure to watch all the really big ones. We'll definitely talk about those.
It's another four handsome boys thing that had, I thought, particularly badly written banter.
Does the food look good?
The food looks fine. It looks fine, but I thought that the boys are all like standing around having cutesy poo banter that highlights their one or two personality traits, and it always kind of Oh well, you just saying that because you love sweet stuff. Well, I don't only love sweet stuff. Oh yeah, remember the time he ate too much? Blah blah. You know. Oh, and I just can't wait to run out and buy his can badges. You know. and so that's fine, but it's not really for me. And the food stuff looked okay, I guess, but it was just like, imagine yourself being waited on by these four handsome men, and what, also maybe they'll kiss, but they won't. Anyway. Steins Gate.
Yes, I watched Steins Gate.
I did too, and I wasn't expecting to want more Steins Gate at all.
Yeah.
But then I watched this.
So I was really impressed with that as far as, you know, it's taking place in a different world line.
Yeah,
in the original series, and it's been quite a while since I watched the original series, but I remember the gist of it. But I like this Okabe, this version.
Yeah, he's intended to reflect his audience's advanced age. if you loved Okabe, if you were like, that's me, whatever, however long ago it was, seven or eight years ago, came out. Now you're like a little older. Little wiser. Maybe you're not hanging out in Akiba as much as you used to.
With some undealt with trauma, seeing a therapist.
You've been through some shit. You're trying to deal with it. You're trying to be responsible for your shit. So that's good. That's cool. I like it when series decide to age somebody up and show them as like, all right, here's what happens when you get a little older. being a little older myself, you know. So I appreciated that. And I did like seeing the characters again. So I think I'm down for more Steins Gate.
Yeah, so just as a complete guess, because I haven't played the game, like, because this is based on an actual sequel game that came out.
Yeah, which is coming out in English here, by the way.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Okay. I felt like the foreshadowing at the end of the first episode might imply Kurisu's going to come back, but as artificial intelligence? I don't know. I'm kind of interested in that, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. It's a different story arc. I didn't play the game, so I'll find out.
Can happen. Yeah.
But I'm curious to watch it. Yeah, on board for Steins Gate. I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Not yet on board for Golden Kamuy.
So I didn't get to that one, but I saw the bear.
Yeah, everyone
all over the internet. The bear. I'm interested in the premise in general, and the main character design appeals to me personally, but.
Yeah, so this is set during the Russo-Japanese War. There's a guy named Immortal Sugimoto who is known for, you know, basically surviving some tough shit in the war. He finds out about a secret treasure that has a key. You find the key to the treasure by getting these tattoos off the backs of these escaped prisoners. And
elaborate.
And so he meets an Ainu girl, the indigenous folks. And they go on, I assume, a mission to get this treasure. The manga is highly hyped up. Like,
it's very well regarded.
People go fucking crazy for the manga. I've only read the first volume and thought it was fine. That was good. It was interesting. Yeah. We have a feature on the whole history behind all of this going up pretty soon. That part is pretty interesting to me. I will probably watch another episode. But the animation, I thought, was like, bleh.
That's too bad, especially given it was going to be sort of a prestige-esque series for the season.
The character designs are nice, but they can't really keep them stable.
Yeah.
Shifting around a lot of askance eyes and like fucked up looking faces and hands and bodies and just poor animation. The bear, I thought people made too big a deal out of.
Yeah.
I thought
yeah,
the bear.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the screenshots for it. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
yeah, it didn't look good.
It's obviously CG bear, but I didn't think it was awful.
It didn't look good, but neither did the rest of the episode. But it still was, it didn't look good, but it didn't look like the worst fucking thing I've ever seen. Like, it wasn't like Berserk.
Right.
It wasn't like Fist of the Blue Sky.
Do we have to talk about Fist of the Blue Sky?
I just want the only thing about Fist of the Blue Sky is I am sad because I would love to watch a good adaptation of Fist of the Blue Sky. That sounds like fun. And the other thing I'll say is if you go on YouTube and watch like previews and stuff or like clips of Fist of the Blue Sky and you speed it up to 2x, I think it gets a little more watchable.
Yeah, because then the motion looks less janky.
It speeds up. Well, and also you pass the interminable pacing and like... Yeah, like I wish shows like that would come with a 2X option.
Yeah.
Maybe watching a whole episode like that wouldn't really work out. But when I was on YouTube, I was like, well, what happens if I speed it? If I compensate for this terrible frame rate by speeding up the video, it made it more watchable to me. I don't know. There's only a few minute clips on YouTube, so I don't know.
Yeah, so I'd like to know, just as someone who doesn't have a whole bunch of technical knowledge about like why does it look that way? Is it just like there's not enough frames?
It's just they only render out X number of frames. They're basically cutting frames to make it look quote unquote like anime. At least that's the philosophy that I've always heard explained to me in the past. Whenever I did interviews for movies like what was that movie? Escape from Paradise? Exiled from Paradise?
Oh, the Gen Urobuchi movie.
Yeah, that one. And other CG productions. Usually when you ask, like, why does it look janky?
Yeah.
So in so many words. And they always say, well, we want it to look like anime. And you're like, but.
Because I would think that the frame rate would be less of an issue in CG because you're not having to individually draw it.
Right? Look, like, neither, like, I've had it explained to me a few times, but feel unconfident in my ability to sit here and get it exactly right in this moment. But it is a specific thing that they're doing. It's not like, we don't know how to make it look better than this. It's like, this is what we have time and inclination to do. And to us, this looks fine. This looks acceptable. Maybe it would look better if we had more time or resources or whatever, but this is what we're capable of producing, and we know that there's an audience for stuff that looks like this. They made multiple seasons of Berserk, so...
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a look that it's not going away. They keep making stuff like that. All I'm saying is, like, maybe the sites that run these, like, super cut-frame CG shows, give us a 2X option on your player so that we can at least give me the option to test it. I would love to know if watching something like Berserk at 2X helped compensate for the bad animation. Anyway, just YouTube needs to start streaming. So I'll probably watch another couple Golden Kamuys just because people will be talking about it, I think. But
yeah,
I was very the look of it is a real disappointment.
Yeah.
Sword Art Online, Alternative Gun Gale Online. Did you watch it?
I watched it. I watched it. Okay, I've watched, other than the movie, I've watched all of the Sword Art Online.
You didn't see Ordinal Scale?
No, I didn't see Ordinal Scale.
Yeah, I didn't love it. It was alright, I guess.
It got a lot of traffic on the website because they had Asuna's nipple in it. So that's about all I know about it.
Ah.
So there was a nip slip in the movie. Otherwise I've watched all the anime adaptations. So was not stoked about this first episode. It had the same sort of light novel over explanation of tactics thing that I think is just sort of a drag to watch. But at the end, when they revealed that, you know, the cute gun toting all pink girl is in fact a grown adult woman, I was still kind of interested to see where that might go.
A woman? What, she's a mom and she's good at video games on the internet? I mean, so shocked. A girl? No, all right. I was super bored because I'm the tactics for fucking 20 minutes. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't like,
just show me it. Like, I'll figure
military
it out.
I think military fantasy is boring as shit, and that's the only thing that happened in the episode. So,
yeah.
Whatever. I'm curious. What's the story? Like, what is the overarching story of this? Do you know? Have any idea?
I mean, that's all I know based on the first episode is that there is a mom who plays the video game.
A mom plays an MMO.
Yeah, mom plays story. MMO.
That's it?
Mom plays MMO.
That's it? Yeah. Well, no, I said overarching.
That's all I know.
Yeah, no, I know that. I watched the episode. What I'm saying is, do you know what the larger story is?
No, I haven't read the light novel. I don't know anything.
They didn't even hint at what it was. Did they?
No. Yeah, no, there's no foreshadowing. It's mom plays MMO. There's maybe another friend who is also a girl may also play MMO. That's
It looked like the show looks great.
Yeah.
Sure, it's Sword Art Online. They're not going to let something out that looks like garbage, even a spinoff. But I was definitely not expecting just 20 minutes of tactics.
Yeah, that was boring as fuck.
I spend a lot of money at sporting goods stores. all right. So I'll wait till the next episode of Sword Art Online to figure out what the hell is up. I didn't watch Magical Girl Sight because I was told not to. I knew about that shit weeks before, though.
Yeah. Because
Kim went to an advanced screening. Kim is our Tokyo correspondent. She went to an advanced screening in Tokyo and sent in a review. And I was like, whoa. All right, then. You watched it.
I did watch it.
Tell me about it.
Okay. So we have perpetually sad female character. Her parents, you know, don't love her. She's basically like living the song Jeremy by Pearl Jam.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So her, you know, brother beats the crap out of her and probably gets off on it. And she's bullied relentlessly in school and the teacher doesn't care. And so her life is just miserable. And then she finds a cat. The cat is killed. And then she accidentally accesses a website that offers to make her a magical girl. That's got a really creepy, like, what's that artwork called when it's all made out of text in a text document? It reminded me of that.
Oh, right.
Gives her a heart-shaped gun. She becomes a magical girl, fends off a potential rapist. But then once she takes care of that situation, the people who knew the guy, like, and the, yeah, it just keeps going. Like, it doesn't become better when she becomes a magical girl. Like, it's just incessant abuse for like 25 minutes and it just goes on and on and on. Like, she makes a friend at some point who's also a magical girl who's probably, you know, so there's going to be some like Yuri implications probably while they slaughter everyone. I don't know. It's a lot.
Are you going to keep watching it?
Maybe out of like morbid curiosity.
Okay. So in other words, they kind of got you.
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
They did. I know a lot of people, they didn't. They were just like, this is, you know, and I understand
why. I think so long as you can admit that, it's fine.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to wallow.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to wallow in the bad things.
Like, you watch that, and then you, like, chase it with something, you know, completely uplifting, and then you, you know, go to bed.
All right. Well, I don't think I'm going to watch it. I'm just not in the mood for it.
A giant content warning.
But do you see that, so. The system works? Someone watched it, told me about it. I said, that doesn't sound like it's going to be for me.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
See how it goes?
Yeah.
Okay. Megalobox.
Oh, I love Megalobox.
I didn't go ape shit for Mega. It's neat as heck. It looks good. The story is kind of like, sure. But it's cool. I guess I'm a little like, people are like, yeah, Megalobox. And I'm like, yeah, it's good.
So here's the thing. It's another one. I have no connection to Ashita no Joe.
Yeah.
And I just for frame of reference, I never really watched Hajime no Ippo either. So I don't have any boxing reference, but I think what got me in the show, a lot of it was the soundtrack. mm-hmm. with the general direction. Like there's the scene where he's facing off against, I think his name's Yuri.
It's a cool, looks
vaguely Eastern European, and anime is named Yuri.
Yeah.
He's facing off with him in the rain or something. And the soundtrack just like comes in and you think they're going to like smash each other's faces in. And then like, it just cuts and they don't, but it got me super pumped in the moment. I was like, oh, I need to see these guys fight. This is going to be awesome. And maybe next episode we will.
But, yeah. No, it's a cool show that I'm going to watch. I really love the aesthetic, but that's what they were going for. This feels like mostly an aesthetic exercise to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I'll keep my expectations for the writing kind of limited, and I'm just going to go to it for the aesthetic. Extremely good looking show. This is the kind of, like, this is definitely the kind of thing where I, like, this is the kind of reimagining that we want, like, the kind of reboot that you want. Like, it is someone's unique idea, taking a thing that you love and just kind of hinting at it enough to bring people in.
So, poor Cutie Honey.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, definitely. Poor Cutie Honey. If only Cutie Honey had gotten the Megalobox treatment.
Right?
Yeah. Good shit, though. Lupin the Third, part 5.
I watched that. I did. So I didn't finish season 4, and I've probably seen like a couple of episodes from the earlier stuff. But I guess more Lupin. I mean, they are taking kind of a unique, as far as like integrating social media as part of it.
Yeah, it's got the tech angle.
Fresh, but I mean, it's more Lupin.
Good. It's got the tech angle. I was kind of disappointed with the way it looked, just because the last couple have been such bravado productions. Mm. You know, like part 4 looks so good, and I really love the Koike and Yamamoto Lupins. I actually reviewed this one, because rarely is the chance I get to actually review a preview guide show, but we needed a review right away, and I was one of the only people available to write it. So I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna crack my knuckles and actually write something. So you can read my take on it, but that was kind of my only issue with it. The story is a little bit more interesting this time, so I'll be watching it week to week. I really like the tech stuff that's doing. They are taking an interesting angle on it, so I'm curious to see how they play with that. But visually, it looks more like a TMS special, like a TV special to me, than the cool stuff like the sort of Italian Ghibli look that Part 4 had, and the really cool Koike and Yamamoto designs. Like, those looked incredible to me. So that's the only thing about it that I thought was kind of shruggo. But other than that, yeah, like, seems like a good premise for a Lupin show. Are you gonna actually watch it?
My husband's also a big Lupin fan. Like, he got into it when they aired it on, was it Adult Swim? With Detective Conan. So we're definitely gonna watch it week to week.
Cool. All right, last thing on my list is Gegege no Kitaro.
Didn't watch Gegege.
Yeah, it was cool. It's very much a kid's show, so I don't think I'm actually going to watch it week to week. But it looked good, and I really liked the premise. It opened with a dig at fucking Logan Paul, which I thought was fun.
I did see that in the preview guide.
Yeah. It's a kid's show. You know, it's modern day, and the Gegege gang is is around to cooperate with some plucky children, it seems. It's very cute, and the production value on it is surprisingly good. But I don't know that I'm going to watch it week to week. So that's kind of it for me for now. There's way more for me to look at, and like I said, Jacob will be around next week to do more. Were there any shows we didn't get to that you wanted to talk about?
Well, Zach, we haven't talked about Horse Girls.
Yeah, I didn't watch Umamusume because everyone shrugged at it.
It's funny, I guess, and just how it unabashedly like cribs from all these. So it's got idols in it, monster girls in it, like sports school specialty in it. Everyone's named after real horses, so that's also ridiculous. I thought it was funny. Like, I would watch it. I'm going to probably keep watching it because it amuses me. I'm not expecting anything from it. PA Works is making it, though, so it's kind of shiny looking, but I don't think it stands up compared to some of their other stuff. As far as, like, just, you know, they're known for, like, their really beautiful backgrounds and aesthetic, and I didn't really see that there, but Horse Girls.
Yeah. All right, so
I think you should watch the first episode and see if you think it's funny. If it's not funny, then drop it. But I think people should at least check out the first episode, because I thought it was funny, at least. So
All right.
So over the top. It's just like over the top. Like it's not holding anything back on its ridiculousness. It doesn't care. Yeah. I think that it has.
It's definitely holding back.
You think it's holding back?
Look, I made a tweet when it right around when it came out that said if the show really, really was going to, you know, take it all the way, the characters would just be randomly dropping huge piles of manure.
Okay. So it's not satire.
Okay.
Having the girls like shit everywhere. But
they're
yeah.
just talking and suddenly just plop. And then there's
Anyone
a whole.
Who's ever watched a parade knows exactly what's.
Then I want a show about the whole cast of people whose sole job is cleaning up after the horse girls.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Anyway.
Anyway, I guess it doesn't go to like shitting on the streets level, but it's still, you know, like they've got horseshoes on the bottom of their shoes and just like how they reconcile the fact that horse girls exist is so it's ridiculous. It's right. just like they are reborn actual racehorses. So it's the same sort of idea as Con Cole or
right.
Conti Collection.
Yeah.
So as someone who has children, the idea that one of my children could suddenly like just have the soul of a horse and then you birth that somehow and then they grow up with tails and all this other weird and ears. It's actually kind of horrifying.
It sounds painful.
From that perspective.
Or like a David Cronenberg movie.
Yeah. So yeah, horse girls. What else do I have on here? I've got Food Wars.
Oh, okay. How was Food Wars?
Okay, so I've watched Food Wars week to week since it premiered and really loved the first season. I think it's really starting to go downhill production-wise. I mean, it kind of did last season, too. But it's starting to really feel, I guess, phoned in to the point where it's not as exciting as it was before. As exciting as, you know, like battle cooking could be. It's not really doing it for me. The character writing's gotten better. I mean, they gave like Sundari Erina like an actual backstory
yeah.
that wasn't, you know, totally derivative. But I guess I'm just disappointed with the production value. Just sort of
yeah. Okay.
Okay. I don't know. There's not a lot to talk about when it comes to. Some of the romantic comedies, there's been like three of them and I've watched them, but I think maybe the best one is Tanaka Doesn't Fall in Love. I didn't really like Real Girl very much because the protagonist is an asshole. So,
okay. All right. So of the three romantic comedies that you watched, the best one was Tanaka Never Falls in Love.
I think so. Yeah.
Why was that the best one?
I guess production wise, I think it looked the best. I liked the side characters maybe more than the main couple, which maybe that doesn't sound great, but I don't know. It just felt very like honest and sincere, but without being like too like cutesy pandering.
Yeah.
Whereas with Real Girl, I didn't like that one so much, I guess, because you have to get over the thing where the protagonist is, he's like a sad otaku, right? He's never had a girlfriend. He hates 3D girls. He's kind of misogynistic in that way. Like, all like women are shit. I don't like women.
Yeah, I read the premise.
Yeah, they've been mean to me my entire life. But, oh, look, this one's nice to me, so maybe this one's okay. And it's like, you're still kind of a crappy person, though. I don't really, you know, I'm not really invested in... Maybe he'll grow as a person and get better. But it wasn't really a seller for me on that. And what was the third one? Oh, the third one I haven't checked out yet, actually, but that's the one where everyone's an otaku, and it's supposed to be pretty funny.
Is that
yesterday, I think?
Is that that Wotakai thing?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That has not shown up as of this recording, hasn't shown up on...
Oh, okay, it's not on Amazon yet, then. Okay.
It's on Amazon in every territory so far except the U.S., so we're just waiting. So I don't know. Don't know. We'll find out. Hopefully it'll show up at some point. And Full Metal Panic premiered this morning, but I haven't seen it yet, so...
Yeah, I haven't actually... watched any Full Metal Panic.
Well, then you probably won't be watching this.
No, I mean, I read the editorial on the website that we, you know, had go up on the website, so I feel like I could watch it, but
I don't really, you know, if I'm gonna watch something though,
yeah,
I'm gonna watch it. Like, I'll start from the beginning. I've seen the first season of Full Metal Panic and I think Fumofu, but those were like when they came out, I saw.
Yeah. Okay. So
long time ago. A long time ago.
Yeah.
All right, man. I got to wrap this up, but thank you so much for coming on to do a little quick brief spring season rundown.
Oh yeah, sure. Anytime.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Okay, that's our show. Huge thanks to Lindsay for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes and YouTube and Google Play Music and Stitcher Radio and all that stuff. Leave us comments and all that. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week.